Holy Corolla.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The last couple months, we've been hearing Toyota is hurting like every other car maker. This morning, we have a better idea of just how much. The world's largest automaker announced a loss for its last quarter. Toyota also says it's looking at an annual loss of $4 billion for the year. This would be the first time the company is in the red since 1950. Toyota is really taking a hit because of the success it had leading up to this economic fallout. It just has too much capacity after building new plants for years to keep up with demand. All right, in this environment, it's not easy to tell a good investment from a bad investment. But what's the government's excuse? A congressional watchdog says taxpayers overpaid by the billions when they bailed out troubled financial institutions. The worst investments were, drumroll please, Citigroup and AIG. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The report found that Treasury overpaid by $78 billion. Harvard professor Elizabeth Warren chairs a panel that keeps tabs on the bailout. She says Treasury lost money on nearly all of its investments, but those losses varied.
For every $100 invested in Wells Fargo, for example, Treasury got back about $93. By contrast, with Citigroup, it got back about $62.
In the report, the independent firm Duff & Phelps compared government bailouts to investments made by the private sector. It found private firms made a killing, even as taxpayers got bilked. Berkshire Hathaway's $5 billion investment in Goldman Sachs in September had an immediate return of 10%. That means Warren Buffett's firm made $500 million in one day, if anyone's counting. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
World markets are waiting to see whether the Senate votes today on its version of the huge stimulus package. European shares are higher this morning. Asian markets closed with gains between 1.5% and nearly 4%. The Dow picked up 106 points yesterday, 1.3% to 8,063. The Nasdaq gained 2%. For the S&P 500, it was a gain of 1.2%. We'll get January job numbers in a few hours. We know they're not going to be pretty, and for a lot of states, that's going to mean more of a headache. A lot of places are running out of money to cut those benefit checks. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
States pay for unemployment benefits through a tax on employers. Usually it's enough, but this economy is not usually. 20 to 30 states could use up their unemployment reserves within the next month. What do they do then? Moses Carey is with the North Carolina Employment Security Commission.
At some point in the near future, we may need to borrow money from the federal government.
The last time states borrowed heavily from the feds to cover unemployment costs was in the early 1980s. Rich Hobby at the National Association of State Workforce Agencies says back then, 30 states had outstanding federal loans.
And it took them until the late 1980s to repay those loans.
The interest rate on those borrowed funds is zero if the money's paid back within the year. If not, the interest rate rises to 4.8%, steep compared to the rate banks have to pay, now around 0.5%. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Lines to refinance are also pretty long these days with interest rates near record lows. Fannie Mae says it's trying to break up that logjam. The government-backed firm says it's introducing a program that will loosen rules for homeowners. The Washington Post says the program will start in April. It will apply to loans the company owns or guarantees. Fannie Mae plans to drop some credit score requirements, lower income documentation standards, and in some cases, waive the need for appraisals.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
The National Safety Transportation Board usually focuses on commercial airline crashes. This week, they've been looking at air ambulances and question our companies that send out choppers to rescue people and airlift them to a hospital. Jill Barchet has this look at how medicine and business collide.
As fans of the TV show MASH know, medical evacuation has been around for over a half century. But it's only recently grown to a $2.5 billion civilian business. In the last 10 years, the number of helicopter ambulances has doubled, but the number of accidents has skyrocketed. Last year, 28 people died in medevac crashes.
This has everybody's attention. We have an accident set of numbers that's completely unacceptable.
Thomas Judge runs a nonprofit medical evacuation program in Maine. He says it's not clear what's causing all these accidents, but he believes money is a factor. Helicopter companies charge $10,000 or more for each mission. If they don't pick up patients, they don't get paid.
They're under pressure to find, flights because the revenue for the system is based on flights. That now we're making a decision that's not based on medicine. We're making a decision that's based on business.
Business concerns are also why many firms are not buying costly safety equipment. Dr. Kevin Hutton is with the Association of Air Medical Services, the industry trade group. He says helicopters are expensive and profit margins are thin.
Anytime we adapt, anytime we add a safety technology, anytime we do anything that's going to cost us additional money, we have no way of getting reimbursed for that right now.
Dr. Hutton predicts new safety costs will force air ambulance companies to retreat from some rural communities. If that happens, it could affect the health of people who live in small towns. Many of their hospitals don't have neurosurgeons or cardiac specialists, and they rely on air ambulances. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thank goodness it's Friday. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.